mean a thing if you ain't got that swing. It don't mean a thing, all you gotta do is swing. Makes no difference if it's sweet or hot. Just give that rhythm every little thing you've got. It don't mean a thing if you ain't got that swing.
Duke Ellington famously said, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Or maybe we should say Irving Mills said it because he wrote the lyric. But is swing just the name of a certain type of music, or can any music swing? Well, to find out, we have invited a couple of experts as guests for today's Please Explain. Vince Giordano, leader of the Grammy-winning band Vince Giordano and the Nighthawks, and Bria Skonberg, an award-winning trumpeter, vocalist, and composer. And we invite you, our listeners, to join the conversation. You can call us at 212-433-9692 or leave a question on our show page at WNYC.org. Also, write in on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. Bria, how would you define swing or swing music?
Well, it's a very, very large topic. Of course, everybody has some ideas about it, and what I share today is merely what my impression is. First of all, it falls under the big umbrella of what we call jazz. But I think of it, it's a feeling. It's a largely rhythm-based. And the way that I can describe it to most listeners is it's kind of like an accent. You know, when you speak to somebody and you're from a different, perhaps a different country, you have a certain accent. And so for those of us who play jazz music, we kind of speak with the same accent. And there's a vocabulary that goes along with it. It has a lot to do with things we'll talk about, like syncopation and where you place the regular beat of the music.
But wasn't the term invented to describe the musical style that was popular in the 30s and early 40s?
The term, yes. See, what happens a lot with music is that the titles for them come long after the feeling has happened. So, I think it just came at a time when swing was meant to feel, it felt good.
Did it end when modern jazz became the dominant style?
I don't think so.
Vince, what do you think? First of all, can modern jazz swing?
Sure. I've heard a lot of wonderful modern jazz. In fact, the early bebop, in my opinion, really swings hard. It really does. Some of it today, in my humble opinion, doesn't. You know, I'm hoping I'm not going to get a lot of hate mail for this. But and the words.
Well, some does and some doesn't.
Exactly. The word, you know, swing goes back into the 20s where, you know, where Louis would say, swing, swing, you know, even though the band he was playing with was playing in two, you know, so it was that whole feeling. I like to term it as almost like a dynamic tension, what Charles Atlas used to say in bodybuilding, this, you have the very simple rhythm of the 4-4. That's setting up the beat. That's your foundation. And here's this other source, either it's a piano or a trumpet or a voice or a saxophone or clarinet, but it's kind of punching against that very straight four, and this dynamic tension just comes.
Well, let's back up. You said that Louis was playing in those days they called it hot jazz.
Yes,
he was playing in two. That means it was 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. That's kind of herky jerky. Then when did it become 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4?
Well, I mean, Louis had to work with these bands of the time, like Fletcher Henderson and his Hot Five, that were playing in 2-4, you know, the old 1920 style. But his solo and his conception was swinging in 4. And that was the wonderful thing. He was ahead of his time and sort of the grandfather of swing and of course, our leader in jazz.
But you could also put the emphasis on the 1 and the 3 or on the 2 and the 4.
Yeah, if we could take it back even just a little bit more, I think in the 1800s, you look at America as a place, and the Western sound of that time was very what we call 4-4, kind of straight. And so what happened is that
every beat was even.
Every beat was even, exactly. And so what was happening culturally down in New Orleans is there was, but became a whole influx of people from Africa, from the Caribbean islands, and with them came different rhythms that did not just fall under 4-4. You had claves, that syncopation beat, or the African, they felt a lot more on triplets. So when you juxtapose those over that straight beat, you get that tension that Vince is talking about. And that's what the beauty of the, you know, New Orleans and how this is American music. It's a culmination of those things.
But can't a polka or an Indian raga or salsa or Afropop or rock and roll also swing just as hard? Because you have polkas are syncopated, aren't they?
I haven't heard any polka bands try to swing yet, though. I've listened to quite a
few. You tap your foot?
You tap your foot, but it doesn't have that same tension that I hear in what we know as swing music. It has a good, happy, upbeat feeling to it. I'm not putting it down in any way, but...
Well, let's get to the whole business of syncopation, which you brought up, Priya. Mm-hmm. Syncopation is when you work against the beat, so that creates a certain tension.
Yeah, exactly. So in what we think of as 4-4, 1-2, like you said, every beat is even. And so in syncopation, we're accenting what we call the off beats. 1-but-but-but-but-but. So you're anticipating the beat that comes next.
So you could do it before or after the beat.
Exactly.
And create tension either way.
And what's neat, when you start to leave out the, you know, when you stop hearing the pulse, the 1-2-3-4, and you only accent what we call the offbeats, the upbeats, then you get the anticipation that's implied, more is implied.
Now, Vince, you play bass and tuba in your band, mm-hmm. That you're part of the rhythm section. Are you giving us the steady beat while the vocalists or the instrumentalists are doing all of that syncopating?
Yes. I'm laying down a real solid foundation, as solid as I can be, along with our rhythm guitar fellow who's playing straight 4, and our drum who's either playing a ride cymbal but keeping it very simple, a couple of accents here and there, and the piano has its own little plink, plink, plink now and then. But that sets up the rhythmic pulse that makes the syncopation so special. Because if everybody's syncopating all at the same time, which is okay, it can work, it doesn't have that same feel for me.
Well, Dixieland, to some degree, is
yes.
Everybody syncopating on their own.
Yes. Well, the horns, but usually the rhythm in a good Dixieland band plays good straight time, you know, to make it more exciting for the soloists.
But, Priya, all of this sounds very nice and intellectual, but what the music actually will do when it's working is make us want to tap our feet or move our bodies.
Yeah.
The swing music was a dance music.
Yes.
What is it about this music that makes us want to do that?
Well, it was funny when we first started hearing that clip of It Don't Mean a Thing, right away Vince and I both kind of started bopping our heads on the offbeats. Like, you know,
yeah.
It just...
Well, there was Duke Ellington, and
yeah.
he knew what he was doing.
Of course, what swings more? Mm-hmm. Maybe it has to do again with that kind of, the implied beat again. Again, bringing it back to the mixing of Latin music and African rhythms and stuff. It's body moving music. It's meant to kind of make you feel good.
Well, both of you have brought instruments into mm-hmm. the studio. Have you any idea of what you want to do to demonstrate what we're talking about?
Yeah, well, maybe we could do a little bit of both. We could play a song that's very straight,
mm-hmm.
Straight in rhythm,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll swing it a little, and then we'll swing a little bit. Okay. That's
so Vince Giordano on guitar and Bria on trumpet. I must say that this is not a studio that is set up for musical instruments, but we'll do the best we can, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So maybe we'll do a tune that's a familiar traditional gospel number, just a closer walk with thee, and we'll play it in fairly straight and then start to swing a little bit. 2, 3, 4.
Well, I couldn't have been clearer than that. Bria Schoenberg on trumpet and Vince Giordano on guitar. I immediately started tapping my foot with the second version.
Yes.
But the first one kind of felt dirgy, although that's the way it was played in New Orleans in the marches. Now, since you brought up gospel music often is in what they call gospel waltz time, and that's 6/8, and that can swing just as hard as 4/4. Why is that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure when the gospel singers first learned it, they learned it very properly, and they learned the right melody. And then they said, all right, let's have some fun with this, and let's start moving the beat around and moving the people. And definitely gospel is and blues are early parts of this whole jazz, and that moves the beat.
And, of course, there were gospel blues.
Yes.
What is a swing note? Were you playing swing notes?
Oh, gosh, I think that would just be the any note that's swinging, perhaps played on an upbeat.
Mm-hmm. Playing before or after the beat?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, swing artists, just to vary it, will play right directly on the beat, you know, just as
Louis
something.
Armstrong.
Yes.
And swinging quarter notes.
Yes.
Amazing. And the guys in the rhythm section, like you were saying, I think it takes a real strong mind frame to play a rhythm instrument. I don't have the attention span for it.
When you look at some sheet music, can you tell if it's meant to swing?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, some stuff like Count Basie things are you know,
written that way.
And Duke's music. But any just about anything can be swung. Even classical music, you know, they have a little fun with it and just make jazz and swing arrangements of it.
Yeah, and as you study music and as you go into a place to you bring with it an interpretation of having listened to those styles of music. And so if you hear music, if I go into Vince Giordano's Nighthawks, I'm expecting to play it with a 1920s, 30s feel.
But I think Bach can swing. In fact, Bach often does swing. Was he writing syncopations?
Not like in today, but I've heard the Swingles singers just swing the heck out of Bach music, and it's exciting.
Yeah, he was an innovator in all ways. We're still deciphering what all he had to say.
And he was a true improviser, too, I'm told.
Yeah, they improvised in those days. We have no idea whether Bach would have been considered the Count Basie of his day.
Sure.
Yes. Yeah, sometimes he didn't have the work completed, and I said, well, fake it, you know.
My guests are Vince Giordano, leader of the Grammy-winning band Vince Giordano and the Nighthawks, and Bria Schoenberg, who is a trumpeter, a vocalist, and a composer. And we are inviting your calls at 212-433-9692, or you can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at @LetItLopate. If you want to join in this conversation, just please explain, look at what it is that makes something swing.
Thank you.
We're taking a look at what makes music swing on today's Please Explain with Vince Giordano, leader of the Grammy-winning band Vince Giordano and the Nighthawks, and Priya Skunberg, who is a trumpeter, vocalist, and a composer. And, Vince, this is from the 20s?
Yeah, this is a 1929 session led by Red Nichols, who gets a lot of bad rap, but he put some wonderful bands together, and that was Benny Goodman on clarinet and Gene Krupa on the drums, and Jack Teagarden's in there, and it's for 1929, it swings.
Well, it was my sense that it wasn't swinging very much until Benny Goodman came in.
Correct.
And that solo did not sound 1929 to me.
No,
correct.
It had a lot to do with what the rhythm section was doing under, because it was really straight, and then as soon as the solo came in, they chose as a
they
section
adjusted.
To go boom, the cat, the boom, the cat. They really started hitting that offbeat again.
Yeah.
But isn't that part of what happens in jazz? People listen to each other and then they adjust. If Benny had done a more straightforward solo, perhaps the rhythm section would have continued the way it began.
Yeah, and, you know, it's an evolving music. I mean, jazz is always evolving, and this was on the cusp of, I think, the swing era, when there was still a lot of two-beat music happening and syncopated jazz, but this was the music that's coming up, the future.
One listener said she was automatically tapping her foot, and she was wondering what it was about swing that makes you want to move to it. We were talking about syncopation. Isn't that pretty much what does it?
Yes. Well, you know, all this music was swing music and jazz music was dance music. And all these musicians out there would play dances and people would dance to this music. So it was music to have fun with. And so the beat and this wonderful feel that they set up really put you in a dancing mood. Or, you know, if you don't want to dance, you start rocking and tapping.
We have invited calls. Our number here is 212-433-9692. Excuse me. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter. Our handle is at Leonard Lopate. Joe from Manhattan, hi. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. A wonderful discussion. I was just saying to your screener that as musicians, I'm a musician and a producer. We come to use swing not only in referring to the jazz music of Louis Armstrong, but also for other styles of music. If we say it swings, it could take on a meaning for any kind of music, rock music, as your guests were saying, sometimes in classical music. And also, even though swing is so intangible, I think it's the hardest thing to teach to young musicians, maybe impossible. It hasn't stopped drum machine manufacturers and software makers from trying to quantify what swing is.
Yes.
in use in other forms of music.
This is true. Very good, Joe. These are wonderful points. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I think a young musician really has to, at least these days, either go out and hear a band or mm-hmm. study some recordings to learn the language, so to speak.
Absolutely.
Although they probably shouldn't watch that movie Whiplash to find out how to swing.
No.
They should watch it perhaps if they want to engage in some kind of masochistic experiences.
Oh,
but as musicians, what did you think about that?
Well, I'm
did
sorry.
Did you see the film?
I haven't seen
the
film
I haven't
yet.
Seen
no.
it either. My nose
it's
has
okay.
been on the grindstone too long.
No, maybe over Christmas.
We'll take another call from Malcolm from Manhattan. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Hi, Vince. This is Malcolm Addy, the recording engineer. Remember me?
Oh, yes. How are you?
In the early days of my career back in London, many years ago, I was fortunate to work with one of Leigh Haar's conductors. I can tell you that if you listen to a full symphony orchestra play a Viennese waltz under the baton of someone like him, you are hearing swing in its, all its glory. In fact, they even have a word for it. They call it schwunger, which of course is the
same. Wow.
So it really goes back. What I'm trying to say is it goes back before it was adopted by jazz. And as our previous caller just said, it's something indefinable. It's
yes.
it's something that happens. You know,
oh,
can't
yeah.
write it down. You know,
no.
But when you hear it, you know it's there.
That's it.
The more you try to dissect it, kind of the more, you know, they put the microscope on it, the more harder it is to actually feel it.
Well,
you are what you eat. You are what you listen to.
That's what triggered me to call, because it seemed to me that what you were talking about was so academic, and I thought, this is something you can't really...
Oh, we hear you.
Well,
yeah.
Do you...
Have you seen musicians who suddenly got it? They were playing, you know, they weren't swinging, and then suddenly you understand what it is.
It's a very slow process, I think, but I guess just, you know, it's something that you really, by listening, is the best way to absorb it, to feel it.
I've had some musicians in my band who, you know, started out a little tepid and timid, and
they were technically good.
Yes. And as time moved on and they got the whole experience and see how much fun it is and learning from others, and I said, please listen to this Louis Armstrong record, please listen to Henry Red Allen, please listen to Benny Goodman, and wow, they would come back, they would do their homework, and wow, we'd get a wonderful swing player out of them.
Yeah, and when you're performing, I mean, you do so much of the homework at home, but when you're on the gig, you should not be thinking about any of that stuff. Just play. Like, we right. work so hard to learn things so we can forget them in the moment.
Right.
You mentioned Louis Armstrong and Red Allen. Mm-hmm. We could also say Roy Eldridge,
yeah.
who comes out of that.
Oh, yeah.
Did they all pretty much swing in the same way?
They all swung, but they all had their distinctive styles and of course, beat and... But that's what jazz is all about. It's like horse racing. There's a ton of different styles out there.
Yeah, it had a lot to do with where they came from at the time, too, not necessarily listening to recordings, but, you know, the complete jazz education, what differentiates a lot of the swing from then versus the swing from today is people doing their homework and going back to the source and listening to the original stuff. So you can tell from a player who has heard and studied early jazz or who has not studied that yet.
We go now to live coverage of President Obama's press conference on AM 820, New Jersey Public Radio, and at WMYC.org. And meanwhile, we will continue with the Leonard Lopate Show on FM 93.9. My guests here are Vince Giordano and also something just crossed, some wires got crossed there. Vince Giordano is leader of the Grammy-winning band Vince Giordano and the Nighthawks. And Bria Skonberg is an award-winning trumpeter, vocalist, and composer. We are talking about swing on today's Please Explain. Are you going to get rid of that?
We seem to have another show going on
yeah.
at the same time. That's okay. We're used to that.
Somehow we've gotten mixed in with the AM and the FM, but we're okay now.
We're ready.
You all right?
We're fine. It's sort of working sometimes with two different bands at the same time.
Yeah.
You just got to kind of focus harder.
Yeah, well, Charles Ives loved that idea. He wrote music where two different bands were playing at the same time.
Sure.
And I guess that's something that has always fascinated musicians, what happens when you play one thing against the other. But it,
Tension
it's not the same
release.
Thing as counterpoint.
It's a lot of tension and release.
Let's take some more calls. Anthony from Staten Island, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing? Pleasure to listen to your guests. I'm a self-taught bass player, and I'm 61 years old, and I'm still playing bass. I'm playing in an oldies band, and I'm also playing in a classic rock band. And one thing I've come to find out in my many years of playing, as far as swing goes, and I've done that as well, there's a certain amount of elasticity that has to happen between the bass player and the drummer
yeah.
and the rhythm guitar player.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What about the piano
I
player?
I liken this to a visual of a train on the tracks with the chassis on the bottom, which is the bass, the drummer, and the rhythm section on the bottom. And on top, where the passengers sit, those would be all the lead instruments. And if that train... with those four wheels goes off the rail, everything above it is going to go right off the tracks as well.
Yeah, with the girl screaming in front of it. Yeah.
Very good.
If that rhythm section does not gel, it has to be a hand in a glove.
Yes.
It's got to be a sergeant putting on his glove so tight that it's practically cutting off his circulation.
Now, how important is the leader to all of that? Is the leader the person who... keeps the whole thing together?
Not always. I mean, if he's got good people in the orchestra, in the band, in the combo, Sometimes the less the leader does, the better. Sometimes the leader gets too overbearing, you know, and which I try not to be. But you know, I just getting the right people together, like the right ingredients to make a meal, and like the Count Basie rhythm section that swung, the All American rhythm section. You know, those were four talented people who all felt the same way, who all had that heartbeat together. It was just a natural thing. And I'm sure it took, you know, Mr. Basie a while to put those four people together.
Do you agree, Bria? Because I know from my own experience when I used to sing in choirs, we would have one leader who could just nod his head and do the minimal amounts of movements, and we were all together in great precision. Then we'd have another one come in. He'd be really leading us a lot, and we'd be all over the place.
Yeah, I think, you know, as a trumpet player in a small band, I'm kind of directing traffic in a small ensemble. And otherwise, you know, being a great band leader, you have a vision for what you want the orchestra to be, and you assemble a team in the way that you want to hear that. But Vince is a very modest band leader. It's a tip of the iceberg job. You know, the vision and the music is a big part of it, but the logistics, just getting everybody in the same place at the same time, playing the same music, is really where the work comes in.
William from Connecticut, hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hi. Hey, how are you? Hey, I've heard a quote from Duke Ellington, and I don't know if it's verbatim or whatever, but he said something to the effect of that good music either swings or it doesn't.
I heard it's something like that. I heard Duke say one time that there's two kinds of music, good music and bad music. So he even simplified that. But, well, you know, there's some beautiful music out there that doesn't really swing. You know, I mean, some classical music that's very straightforward and just plaintive and beautiful. You know, but it's close.
Well, Beethoven didn't swing, but he's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Bobby from Belmar, New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Vince, Bobby Byrne. I think maybe you remember me from the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, wonderful singer you are.
And I wanted to ask you, you know, when I come to see your band, you know, talk about tapping your feet and clapping your hands. I mean, you can't stop. So, but your music is from the 20s and the 30s mostly, and then came what they call the swing era. So what's the difference between swing with your bands from Fletcher Henderson arrangements to, you know, the Dorseys and the Goodmans and the Artie Shaws and the swing era bands that were so different from them? So what's the difference in swinging in those eras?
Well, a lot of it comes from the rhythm section. In the 1920s, it was a two-beat rhythm section. Usually they had a tuba or a bass saxophone or a string bass playing 2-4, boom, 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 boom. They also had a banjo for the most part, going plank, 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 and a hot cymbal. And the jazz soloists, they would swing in a way. They could think in 4, but you still had the restrictions of the 2-beat feel to it. When the 30s moved on, the tuba, outside of Guy Lombardo, who didn't swing anyway, and I love Guy Lombardo too, it went to the string bass, going boom, 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 boom. The guitar would come in there strumming. You know, the drummer would have more freedom in the 1930s, and drummers became more proficient, and they had more ride cymbals, and
right.
and so a lot of, and of, then and of course the writing of orchestration changed, and also the soloist changed, so it was just another development that was getting in another direction.
Yeah, and also on that, you know, by the time that music came along, swing wasn't just what we're dissecting here. It was a brand. It was a social, cultural phenomenon. And that's kind of, you know, again, it had been around for years before it had a name, then it had a name, and then it was around for years before it became a huge hit.
And then not every band swung as hard as every other band.
Yeah, especially the ones
Glenn
before.
Glenn Miller didn't swing as hard as Count Basie.
Fletcher Henderson, you know.
Correct, yes.
CJ from the Upper West Side, you're on the air.
Thank you very much. I'm CJ Everett. Vince, I know you through Arnie Kinsella.
Wait, we have to stop this for a moment. Everybody seems to know Vince.
That's right.
I get around.
Anyway,
a little.
I'm just trying to identify myself. I'm a drummer and a teacher, and I have another analysis take on swing as a kind of, as a really rhythmic description. I think of it as a 12-8, a measure of music, 4-4, right?
He's at the drum set.
Some drums here. And it's subdivided, I think each quarter note is subdivided into triplets. Da-ka-da-da-ka-da-da-ka-da-da-ka-da. Mm-hmm. Either all of which can be there in a measure, or eliminating some to make phrases, not all there. But the underlying motor to me for swing music is a kind of a 12-8, four groups of triplets, as opposed to what came along later in the 50s called rock music, which is a kind of an 8-8, a duple subdivision of that same quarter note.
Priya, you're the composer. Do you see that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it depends a lot on how you're feeling it. Yeah, the triplet feel is really what keeps moving along. I agree with you there. I mean, sometimes it depends a lot on tempo, too. Like, in a, you know, the Nighthawks gets pretty burning sometimes, so feeling a like triplet, that gets a little rough when it's at breakneck speed. So at that point, you know, you can feel but one ends just as much. And that's something that as a band, maybe you'll discuss beforehand. Like, you know, even if you're not playing every triplet feel, you're feeling it together as a group.
How much of the swing is worked out in rehearsals?
Again, having a general knowledge of where the music's coming from. You know, we don't really discuss it at this point, but if there's something, you know, maybe Vince will send a recording saying, listen to this, this is what I'm going for, and that's all he needs to say.
Mm-hmm. You never say it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
Well, I could if things aren't gelling that certain day, that certain session, you know.
Thank you both so much for being on our show. Priya Skjernberg, who is an award-winning trumpeter, vocalist, and composer. We didn't get to hear you sing, unfortunately.
It's okay. Oh.
Vince Giordano, leader of the Vince Giordano and the Nighthawks band. We've been talking about swing on today's Please Explain.
Thank you.